Morning, everyone. Morning. Oh, that was a lot worse than the first service. I'm going to have to try that again. Good morning, everyone. There we go. Okay. So I want to make sure you all are awake. You are the second service, so you guys should be more awake. You guys got to sleep in. Oh, man. If you want to turn your Bibles to Philippians 4, we'll be looking at verses 4 through 13. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 13. We'll be looking at this idea of finding the peace of God. If you want to turn your passage, we'll read over this passage one more time, really just get in the forefront of our minds as we dive into what the Lord has for us today. So we'll start here in verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern in me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. I know in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So if you look at this passage, and as I was kind of preparing this week, you know, looking over this idea, studying the peace and understanding what peace was, I was kind of reminded of one of my favorite movies when I was growing up. When I was younger, one of my favorite movies was this movie called Kung Fu Panda. And I don't know if any of you have seen the movie Kung Fu Panda or know what it is. It's a movie about a panda who learns how to do kung fu. It's really deep. It's really, really crazy. But like most animated movies of that time, they decided to make 4,000 different spin-offs of it. And so they had a show, 4 different movies, and different things. But I was kind of reminded of the second movie. The second one, this whole entire focus of the movie was Po the Panda. He went on this massive journey of trying to find inner peace. And he went, the entire time, this entire movie was him focusing on all these different things of how he could find this source of inner peace. And eventually going through all this history of his past and going through a bunch of different trials and tribulations and struggles, he was able to eventually find inner peace. And at the end of the movie, he does a bunch of crazy kung fu things and he's finally found inner peace. Now, that was an animated movie. It has no spiritual backing at all. It is about a panda that does kung fu. But let's be real here. We're all searching for this idea of peace in our lives. It's kind of why it resonates a little bit. We're all searching for this sense of inner peace in our life. We want peace. Peace is something that we crave in our lives. But let's be real here. It doesn't start with some mystical journey of self-improvement and reflection about kung fu. What it begins with is God. You see, Paul reminds us here in this passage that there is one true way to find peace. If we look at our world around us, our world is full of turmoil and struggle. There is no peace in this world. But there is one way to find it if we are searching for this peace, and that is through God. So the question is, how do we go about finding this? How do we go about searching and receiving this peace? I want to take some time today to go over this passage. Paul outlines this idea of what the peace of God looks like in our lives and what it can truly bring us and see how we go about truly seeking this. And I kind of want to take us on this idea of like going on a road trip, okay? So when you're going on a road trip, you first start off, you have a starting point. You have a starting destination. You have to begin somewhere. And once you get that starting point, once you get going, you have certain routes you have to take. There are certain paths and roads and routes that you have to take to get to this destination. And then finally, ultimately, you have your destination. You have what you are getting to. And so as we go through this idea, I kind of want to look at this journey of peace as this kind of thing. We have a starting point. We have to start somewhere if we want peace. and we want to continue to have peace in our lives, we have to continue down certain routes and certain paths. And ultimately, there is a destination. There is something there that we are searching for that we will find. So to kind of start us off, this first point, this first starting point of our road trip, in a sense, is the peace of God begins with prayer. See, Paul starts here in this passage when he's talking about this. He starts with first addressing the opposite of what peace is. You see here in verse 4, it says rejoice. In verse 6, it says, do not be anxious in anything. This idea of anxiety or worrying, it is the complete opposite of what peace is. If you are anxious or worried, you are the furthest away from peace that you could ever be. And so he starts off with here saying, hey, don't be anxious. And many of you who have understood the idea of anxiety, have struggled with it, or maybe worried or stressed about different things, you know that this thought process in your brain forces you to live through something that hasn't happened yet. And so when you're anxious about something, you're going through situations that haven't even happened yet. And so if that situation does happen, you've been forced to relive it multiple times in your brain. And if it doesn't end up happening, well, you've just forced your body and your brain to go through something that wasn't even a problem, wasn't even going to happen in the first place. And so we understand from that standpoint, understanding what anxiety and this different stuff is, we can understand that it is not something that is useful. It is not something that is helpful in us. But you understand also, those of you who have struggled with this idea of anxiety, how useful it is if someone tells you to just stop being anxious. That is not useful at all, right? You've ever been stressed out, someone approaches you, just stop being stressed. And if someone says that, it makes you just want to bop them right in the nose, right? You're just like, really, thank you so much. I'd never heard of that situation, that solution before. Thank you so much for telling me to just stop being anxious. We realize that's not how that works, right? And so it's very important that Paul doesn't just stop here by saying, stop being anxious, okay? He doesn't just say, hey, don't be anxious in anything, okay? He gives us a solution. He gives us a way to get out of this. And that starting point where we're starting off, that combatant part is prayer. What we can do to help receive this peace and get out of this idea of anxiousness, it's prayer. You see, prayer is such an important part of our Christian life. It's such a powerful thing that we have. And to be honest, we as Christians often forget how awesome and how powerful prayer is. I mean, this isn't the only time that we are even commanded to pray, or even prayer is talked about in the Bible. You look at 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it tells us to pray without ceasing. Matthew 6, Jesus tells us, gives us the Lord's Prayer and gives us the instruction to his disciples on how to pray and what prayer should look like. Colossians 4:2 tells us to pray steadfastly, continue steadfastly in prayer. There are over 300 different references to prayer in the Bible. It's almost close to 400 different references in Bible of the Bible of prayer. So if I were to go through the list, we'd be here all day just talking about these different verses. There's plenty of instruction on prayer. You see, prayer is such a unique gift that we've been given, and yet we don't even use it that much. There was a study done a few years ago about Christians and just their lives and stuff like that. An organization does studies and interviews Christians trying to figure out different things and how they live and give information on that. And they did a study on prayer. And what they determined from interviewing a bunch of different people and determining from this, that the average Christian spends about a minute a day in prayer. And so if you take that into a week period, the average Christian only spends about 7 minutes a week in prayer. And you think about that, that's not really that much. And to kind of humble us a little bit more, I looked up some other comparisons of how much we spend doing certain things within the week. So the average person spends about an hour and 17 minutes a week eating, right? So we spend about an hour, 17 minutes a week eating food. The average American spends about 21 hours a week watching television, staring at the TV. Similar to that, the average person spends about 23 hours a week on their phone, staring at that little handheld device that you have with you. And finally, this one just popped up, so I had to include it when I was looking at this stuff. But we spent about an hour and 42 minutes a week in the bathroom. Sorry for telling you that. I just had to include that. That popped up on my list, so I felt like we needed that. But you look at all these things that we spend. The list could go on if you go through and just search, how much do I spend doing these things? We spend a lot of time doing a lot of different things. And so comparing that to 7 minutes a week on prayer, that's kind of sad. Even without comparing it to other things, prayer is our communication with God. It's how we communicate with our Lord and Savior. Imagine you going up to your significant other or your family or your friends and telling them, hey, I only got 7 minutes this week I'm able to talk to you. I've really only been able to fit 7 minutes into my schedule, and that's about as much time I have to spend with you this week. That relationship would be destructive. That would not last at all, right? You cannot build a relationship off of 7 minutes a week of communication with someone. And yet, some of us think that somehow we can build a relationship with God that way. We wonder why today, when we're searching for this idea of peace, or we look around our world, why we're so anxious and worried about different stuff. But then we look at our prayer as Christians, and it kind of makes sense. It kind of makes sense why we are struggling with this. Now, I don't know where your thoughts are, where you are in your prayer, but this is an encouragement that we really need to work on this. You see, we want peace in our lives, obviously. Most of us would agree with that, right? But we have to start with the prayer. We have to begin with communicating to God our needs and our wants and our praises and our thankfulness. And this verse specifically says here in verse 6, it says, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. This word supplication means to earnestly beg, to approach God, begging him for these things. He wants us to beg him for this peace. I'll be honest, I don't think you can beg someone just for a minute if it's genuine in that sense. We are to earnestly approach God with everything in our lives. If we want peace in our lives, it begins with prayer. God wants us to talk to him. He wants to know what's on our hearts and on our minds and what's bothering us and what's going good. If you want peace in your life, you have to start with prayer. So now that we have this starting point, now we know where we have to begin with this idea of peace, where we want it in our lives, we have to now understand what are the routes I have to take to understand where I can get this peace and how I can continue down this peace. So the second idea I have here is the peace of God continues with the right mindset. So this route that we're taking, it's the right mindset that continues down this route of peace. I don't know how many of you realize, but how much a good mindset can really affect how you just live your life. An optimistic person, sorry for you who are more pessimistic, but they tend to live more optimistically. They tend to live lives that are more focused on good things. Having a good mindset makes you more productive in your life. It allows you to focus on good things and allows you to really focus and do those things. It affects so many different areas of your life. Luke 6:35 says, a good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. So we understand here from this passage that whatever's inside of us, it's going to come out. And so what we're filling our minds with, what is constantly coming out and coming into our hearts and our minds, that's what's going to reflect in our actions and our words and our thoughts. The things we think about are going to directly affect how we live our life. Like I mentioned earlier, genuinely speaking, people who live and act more happy and think of more happy things, they're going to act more happy. If they think about happy things, they're going to act more happy. And people who focus on depressing and disappointing things, they're tend to going to act a little bit more disappointed or depressed in their lives. When I'm back home, I work at a Chick-fil-A. I'm a kitchen manager back home at my Chick-fil-A that I work at. And one of the big things that we noticed was the difference between the mindsets of our morning and night crew. Not to do a pun within itself, but the morning crew and night crew, they were night and day with how they acted, okay? And seriously, but when the morning crew would come in, they would all be kind of upbeat, happy. They were excited, enjoyable. Sure, not everyone was happy and excited to be up at 5 a.m. in the morning, but genuinely speaking, as we got going in the morning, they were a little bit more happy and upbeat. And you went into the night, the people of the night working just acted like they were having the worst day of their life. Every single day of their life, it was miserable to walk in. And you're like, why are you guys so sad? And so we were trying to figure out, me and my supervisor, we were having conversations. We were trying to figure out what the difference was. Like, why is this such a big deal? Because we had morning people go to the night and they would act more depressed. And then we'd had night people come to the morning and then they would act more happy. And then we're like, what is going on here? And so we're trying to go through a list of different things of, you know, what is affecting them, what are the differences between these two crews and the times here. We figured out something that we noticed very quickly was the music being played in that kitchen was completely different from morning and night. See, the morning crew, the music they were playing while they were working was happy, upbeat music. And the night crew, the music they were playing was dark, depressing. It was not fun to listen to at all. I don't know why they were listening to it, but they were. But, I mean, I can't tell you one single person I've met where they hear the song Sweet Caroline, that line come on, and they don't immediately go, bum, bum, bum. Like, everyone's like, knows exactly what that's coming. You can't be disappointed when you hear that, okay? You can't be like, I hate this song, man, come on. Right? You're more excited and a little more happy, upbeat when you hear that, at least. But even just that, like, the music we were playing was so much more happy and upbeat. And so we noticed the difference between these two crews were the music, it was affecting how they just thought. It was constantly playing in their minds, you know, when they're not having a conversation, that's what's filling their brains and their heads while they're working. And there have been several studies done as well on how much music can affect your mood. So if you listen to happy, upbeat music, you're going to be a happy, upbeat person. If you listen to depressing, dark music, you're going to tend to be a little more depressing and dark. And that's just music. Take into account the hundreds of other things that we are filling our minds with. Whether it's television, TV shows, movies, social media, whether it's YouTube shorts, Facebook stories, Instagram reels, I can name all of them, there's tons of them. All these things that we're filling our minds with, right? What we are filling it with is going to affect the way we think and the way we act. There's hundreds of different sources that we're receiving different stuff. So what are the things that you're receiving, what are they reflecting? You see, Paul gives us a list here in verse 8. And he tells us this list of things that we should be looking for when we're intaking things and things that should be reflected in our lives. He says, think on these things that are true, that are honorable, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, that are commendable. See, when we focus on things that are reflecting of that, then those actions and those ideas start to reflect in our lives. When we're focusing on things that are true and honorable, we start to live a life that is more true and honorable and pure and lovely. What we think about, what we meditate on, becomes what we act and what we do in our lives. See, Paul gives us an encouragement, and when we focus on these actions, we focus on these things, that the God of peace is going to be with you when you act on these things. The God, he even tells you in verse 9, it says, when you practice these things, the God of peace will be with you. He knows that when you are doing these things, you're actively pursuing the things that are right, that are true, that are just, peace will be entered into your life. The God of peace will be with you. And Jesus even described as the Prince of Peace. And so even when we accept him as our Savior, we have the Prince of Peace constantly in our lives. And when pursuing the things of him, he has promised to be with us. So, kind of review where we're at right at this point. If we want peace, if we want peace in our life, we're searching for peace, we have to begin with prayer. The first starting point, we have to start with earnestly praying to God, asking him, communicating with him that we want this peace. Secondly, the routes we have to take are these instructions right here, the things that we are pursuing. Are we pursuing the things that are right? Are we pursuing the things that are just and that are pure? So that way we have all these things, this route. What is our destination? What are we ultimately looking for with this peace? We've been on this journey. What is it going to give us? You see, Paul explains that in these next couple verses. And I kind of want to do this third point, this final destination that we are going to receive, this final point that we're going to get to, is that the peace of God provides true contentment. If you look here in these next couple verses, starting here in verse 10, he talks about rejoicing in the Lord and talking about the opportunity he has and the struggles he had. And he says here in verse 11, he says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I've learned that in whatever situation I am in to be content. He says, no matter what is happening in my life, I am content in God. See, he has the peace of God that he understands that having this true peace, pursuing this peace of God, understanding this, can bring us true contentment in life. If you look at this word content, if you understand the definition of content, this word means kind of to be satisfied, or more specifically, it means a state of peaceful happiness. So if you're content, you are peacefully happy. So this idea of peace and contentment, they go hand in hand. They go right with one another. If you are content, you are at peace. If you are at peace, then you are content. And so we can see that these, because of this definition, they are directly in line with each other. But I want to see a very crucial part of what Paul points out here in this passage and what he specifically says about contentment here. He says, more importantly, having contentment does not always mean that you are having the best time of your life, that you are in the greatest moment of your life, and that everything is working out for you. Contentment doesn't always come when you want it to. You see, just in those couple verses, Paul makes it very clear that there were some things that he went through that weren't that fun and that weren't that enjoyable. I mean, even if you just look at the life of Paul and what he went through a ton of different things. He was thrown in prison multiple times, beaten. He was stoned to death at one point. And I don't know about you, I would not be very content being stoned to death. That's just my personal opinion, but let's be real here. That's not something enjoyable to do and to go through. And Paul boldly says here that no matter what I have gone through, no matter everything that I have experienced, I am content. And how can he say that? Well, it's very, very clear that he has peace in God. And what that peace tells him and what he knows with that peace is that God is in control. That peace knows that he can be content because God is in complete control of everything. Everything is working out for his glory and his purpose. He knows exactly how things are happening. And he knows exactly what this is going to bring. You think it's so hard for us to truly accept this is because in our lives, we crave control. We do not want other people to control our lives. It's very hard for us to completely give everything over to God and say, God, you're in complete control of my life. It's very hard for us to do it. Our very sin nature wants us to control everything we have in our lives. And we think about this idea, we think that because I'm in control, I know all the answers, right? I know everything that's right. I know the best idea for me. So I don't want someone else to take control. I can know exactly where I need to be. But we're reassured several times throughout the scripture, and even in this passage, that when we relinquish control, when we relinquish control of our lives and turn over to God, he is going to guide us. No matter what is going on, he's going to have a purpose and a will in our lives. The most common verse that I think about when talking about this idea and thinking about this is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. We know this verse that when we trust God in everything, that he's going to direct us in a way that is going to show us true peace and understanding. And honestly, let's be real here. There is a peace to knowing that I do not have to control everything in my life. There's a peace knowing that I do not have to control every little working detail, that God is in control of everything. I even look back at this idea of, I bring back my kitchen illustration or working in my kitchen. There are times as a manager that I do not want to be in control of that kitchen. There's times where I walk in and there's people late and not showing up and people are not working. And I just want to say, hey, you're in charge now. Good luck. I'm leaving. I do not want to deal with this anymore. I do not want to be in control. And even, it sounds terrible, but there's times where I'm at peace knowing that someone else is in control when things are going wrong. I'm like, thankfully it's your problem and I don't have to deal with it. I don't have to deal with that. But we understand that there is a sense of peace knowing that I do not have to control everything. So when something does go wrong, that it is not up to me to make that final decision on what is going to happen. You're reminded time and time again, when we finally give control over to God, that he is going to show us true contentment. He's going to give us this peace in life. We can be happy knowing that God is doing what he's doing because he knows what's going to happen and he has a purpose. And kind of spoiler alert, if you read at the end of Revelation, God wins. If you haven't made it to the end of the Bible, right? God wins ultimately. He knows that ultimately he's going to win over this victory of sin and of death and all this stuff. Now I realize this idea, this is a lot easier said than done. I realize relinquishing control of our lives, it's a lot easier just to say that I'm going to do that than to actually do it. And honestly, this is something that I have been struggling with for the past couple weeks and even just the past few moments, just why God has laid this passage on my heart. You know, these past couple weeks have been a whirlwind of me being very frustrated where I'm at. You know, a couple weeks ago when they went to Brazil, I was supposed to go on that trip and I got severely sick and I was, quite frankly, angry. I was mad that God did not allow me to go on a mission trip. And you think that's weird. I'm like, I'm on a pastoral internship, God. Why wouldn't you let me do things with that? This doesn't make sense. I was questioning him. I was frustrated. I wasn't content. I was not happy where God was having me. I got sent home and had to be home for a little bit and then missed out on some things. I remember that first week of going through all that, I was texting my best friend and I was just, you know, ranting to him like, I'm just so frustrated. I'm angry. I don't know what's going on. And he actually sent me this passage. And it was one of those things, you all have probably those people in your life that you know whenever you approach them, they're going to tell you the things you need to hear. And so when he sent that to me, it was one of those things like, I love you, man, but I hate you so much right now. But really, like, it's exactly what I need to hear. You see, I don't understand why I went through this. I don't understand what's going on. But I do know that God wanted to teach me something. And in all reality, if it was just to teach me that I need to trust him and control of my life when things aren't going the way I want them, then it was all worth it. And this truth is all I need in my life. So when I finally trusted him to do this, then things started to have peace. I started to have peace in my life, knowing that God is in control in my life. And I've seen this even a couple other times in my life. I think about the moment I got saved, that peace that entered my life when I finally accepted Christ, that was like nothing else. And many of you have experienced that peace knowing that you finally are a child of God. One of the other big things in my life that when I finally experienced that peace was my call to ministry. As some of you heard when I first came here, gave a little bit of my testimony, the idea that I was running from God for a couple of years, trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And I was pursuing all these different things, all these different majors, colleges, and I had no peace whatsoever. I had no clue what I was doing. I was confused, scared, and I was just running. And through the wisdom of a couple of my elders at church and some good friends, I finally realized that God had been calling me to ministry and I was just running from it. And the second I turned to God, I said, God, you are in control. I'm going to let you take control of my life. If you want me in this career, if you want me in this path, then I'm going to pursue it. Then I'm going to let you work in me. And that peace that entered my life was like nothing I ever experienced in my life. I had so much peace knowing that God was in control. And that no matter what was happening in my life, no matter the hardships, the struggles, the pain, that God had a purpose and a plan, that he was teaching me something or he was teaching someone else something, that there was something that I need to learn from him. I'll admit it, and most of you can admit it too, that we want peace. We want peace in our lives. I'm fairly confident that all of us are searching for this in some way. And I give you the confidence that true peace can only come from God when we fully trust in him. Like I mentioned earlier, Christ is literally called the Prince of Peace. So when we accept Christ into our lives, we can receive this peace. We can receive the peace of God. And what it takes is this prayer, praying and approaching him and asking for this peace, following him in all these things that he's instructed us to do and pursuing him in all these different ideas. And then ultimately, understanding that we can be content in whatever we do. That no matter what happens in my life, I can be content knowing that God is in control and he has a purpose. True peace can only come from God. And so as we kind of close out here, I want to challenge us with a few of these ideas and some of these thoughts. Where are you searching for peace? What is your search been? What are you looking for? How are you pursuing this? Are you praying and asking God to give it to you? How is your prayer life? Are you earnestly begging God? Are you approaching him with everything, praying and asking for him to give you this peace in your life? Secondly, how are you filling your minds? How are you filling your thoughts? Are you pursuing the things that are just, that are pure, that are right, that are lovely? Are you following these routes that lead to the peace of God? Are you following this path that leads to this peace? And finally, are you content? Are you content knowing that no matter what is happening in your life, whether it's hardship and struggle, whether you're having the greatest moment of your life, that God is in control of everything, that everything is owed to him. And he has a plan and a purpose through everything you experience in life. And you can be content knowing that he has a plan. See, peace is offered to all of us. We all have this opportunity to experience peace. The question is, what are you doing to search for it? Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to just hear from your word. Lord, I thank you for this gift of peace that you've given us. Lord, that you do provide true peace and true contentment, Lord. Lord, I pray that you just guide us and you direct us. Lord, help us to earnestly search and beg for you to give us this peace and to work in our lives. Help us to pursue you in everything that we say and do. Lord, help us as we continue with our thoughts, as we go out from this place, to not just check off a box of going to church, Lord, and fellowshipping, Lord, but to go home and meditate on your love and your will. Lord, I pray that you just guide and direct us and give us true contentment in everything that we do in life, and that we can know that through everything you have a plan and a purpose. Lord, I pray that you just guide and direct us, give us a good rest of the day, be with us as we continue on this week, and give us encouragement to continue on. I pray this all in Jesus' name.